Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play Store today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, let's set the stage here, okay? Let's go to your cubicle. What does your cubicle look like?
My cubicle?
Yeah, it's, from the Julie POV.
I think it's got probably all of the trappings of your typical office worker. It's got some personal photos.
Yes.
Stacks of books and papers. But it does have a big sign that says Cloaca Ave.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, we can thank Coop for that. And that I think, really telegraphs to people, like, hey, this is my territory.
Yeah, you have some weird bits of art thrown in there.
Fan art that's awesome. And then I have a tiger bearing its jaws, like a little figurine. And again, I feel like the tiger and the sign and all of these little things are ways of saying, this is my corner of the street. And, you know, this is my area and my dwelling.
And I should point out that our cubicles are really more like, half of a hexagon, really? It's like, it's the three walls, but they're a little more spacious.
Yeah. They're not too bad. They're gray.
But they don't look like the office space, TV movie cubicle type of thing. It's a little better than that, I think.
Oh, you're saying it's a little bit jazzier?
I think it's jazzier.
It's got a little bit more angles.
Yeah,
going
it doesn't look, it's not as nearly as soul crushing, and it feels a little more open. We have a fair amount of desk space. And I have the walls of my little area decorated with bits of art, you know, so I have like some, you know, I think a Tibetan calendar up and, some fantasy art, and various bits and pieces that sort of allow my imagination to run wild. And most of it is like agreeable to the workplace.
You've forgotten the best part of your cubicle.
The Sandworm Avenue? Sign?
Well,
that was the one that gave me. That's
yeah,
over
that
the bookshelf that's next to
the
it.
The bookshelf, which is your fortress against the world. But in addition to that, is the painting of Biscuit, your cat.
Yes. My sister, Lucy Lamb, she painted a picture of my cat Biscuit. And that's up there with the one eye. She doesn't really have one red eye. She has one bad eye. But in the painting, it's red and kind of magical looking. So
yeah, it looks like it's going to shoot lasers.
That's definitely one of the prize pieces that I have with me at work. You know, along with some other personal mementos.
All right, I'm thinking you guys have guessed that today's topic is all about our workspaces, our cubicles, how we dwell in them, what is dwelling in them.
Yes.
And perhaps even the future of office space.
Yes, and I would have to advise anyone listening to this at their cubicle, at their workspace, prepare to feel a little weird about your work environment. Prepare to perhaps run out to the store and buy some sort of cleanup wipes to scrub everything down, because we're going to get into not only your human coworkers here, but your microbial coworkers and all the creepy crawlies that invisibly make up your workspace.
Yeah, because let's be honest about it, that we have this whole microbial kingdom that is surrounding us, not just on our bodies and inside of our bodies, but every single space that you touch, every single thing from that elevator button up to the floor that you work on.
And indeed, we've talked before about just all the microbes that our body's carrying. I mean, just our mouth, again, 500 to 1,000 different types of bacteria. Only 100 to 200 live in a mouth at any given time. And we all have these different bacterial floral environments going on inside us. And then we bring these environments and a host of other things into these workspaces.
Yeah, there is a study called Office Space Bacterial Abundance and Diversity in 3 Metropolitan Areas. It's a study by Chrissy M. Hewitt and Charles Gerba et al. And they found that most of the bacteria in an office originates from the workers themselves, right? Which is, mm-hmm. I mean, of course, we track everything in. It's spread by coughing, sneezing, and shedding of the skin. And by the way, there are dust mites that are there waiting for these little skin flakes to fall so they can feast upon them.
Yeah, one of the things that I kept coming back to in researching this podcast and the other one that we're recording today is that we really have this false notion in our heads that it's largely a false notion that I feel like the more we learn about it and the more educated we each of us individually are, the less we buy into this false idea. But it's the sense that there's the outside world with all of the things that live in it, and all the things that can kill us, all the things that are gross and yucky. And then we are going to create these pristine indoor environments that are holy. And in this space, I am the only thing that is living. I'm cut off from all of this annoying nature, and it's just me. I don't have to worry about mosquitoes swarming me. I don't have to worry about other parasites climbing up. I don't have to worry about things swooping down off of dog poop. I don't know why they need to swoop down. Maybe the dogs are climbing trees now. But but still, the example still holds true that we think of our indoor environments as something special and something clean. And in reality, we've just created another equally occupied artificial environment. It's just that the things that get to live there are the things that we bring in with us. So they become this kind of zoo, this kind of mutated, well, not really mutated, but out of control zoo of human flora.
Well, it is a bit of a zoo, and it is a bit of a mutation, because when you are controlling your environment like that, then you have certain microbes that are going to subsist rather than other ones.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, mutated. I just didn't want to make anybody think that these things were actually mutating on a genetic level. But in terms of an environmental mutation, I think that would probably hold true.
So, of course, this would lead you to begin to wonder, like, where would all of these germs in an office building be hiding out? Researchers at Kimberly-Clark Professional, they used a molecular detection method to gauge the germ count in typical office spaces. And the areas that garnered the highest amount of germs, 75% of them were dwelling in the break room sink faucet handles.
Ugh, which we all touch without thinking about it too much.
No one will be surprised by this. 48% of those germs were hanging out on the microwave door handles.
Yeah.
Keyboards, 27%, and refrigerator door handles, 26%. And then, of course, you've got water fountains at about the same rate, 23%, and vending machine buttons.
Wow.
So I don't think any of that is a surprise, because I don't know about you guys out there, but if your office has a microwave and people use it a lot, perhaps there's lots of evidence of that, and it's extremely dirty and corroded with food, like ours is.
You know the inside is going to be gross, but you didn't have to think about the handle so much.
I don't know, because I just think that's evidence of, like, it's getting used every day. It's probably getting used 20 times a day.
Hmm.
And then you know right then, all that muck that's stuck up in there is a good indication that this thing is getting a lot of play.
The petrified tomato sauce and all that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would have easily guessed keyboard because obviously we're touching our keyboards all the time. And I don't really eat snack mix anymore, but I used to be like really into snack mix. And I would have that horrifying time when I had realized like something had fallen through and I'm like, oh, I need to get that kernel of nut out of my keyboard. And then I turn it upside down and there's like just a rain of filth that comes out of it. And then I have to clean everything. But yeah, any space that that individuals throughout your office are coming into contact with on a daily basis, it's going to accumulate, even though it looks clean. I mean, it looks super smooth and polished because all those fingers are rubbing it with their oil.
Well, the thing that I was surprised about is that in your own personal space, that your chair is actually rife with bacteria. Your phone, that makes sense.
Yeah, the phone's pretty bad too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading that if you make a telephone call, about 25,127 microbes per square inch. Are present. So that makes it one of the grimier things just in your desk environment.
Eavesdropping on your phone call.
Well, yeah, maybe. NSA bacteria. But back to chairs. Studies pointed out that we were looking at that individuals do fart in their chairs.
What?
Apparently. I mean, I think it's a little rude, especially if you're seated next to people. But, I mean, that's where the business happens. So there's going to be a certain amount of bacteria released that way.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the studies we were looking at actually brought gender into this, which flows naturally from the farting discussion, because we've talked before about possible gender biases regarding flatulence or flatus, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that men are going to be more apt to just let it rip, and then females are going to be more conservative and perhaps go somewhere else and do it in with some sense of decorum. But according to researchers at San Diego State University and the University of Arizona, the surfaces in men's offices had 10 to 20% more germs than their female counterparts. So, and the idea here is that maybe just men are a little more gross than women.
Well, there was another idea that...
Farting and also just clutter and eating gross things over their keyboard and everything
else.
Well,
it was a hygiene question. Were they washing their hands as much? But the other question was, could it be that on average, men have more surface area of skin and therefore more microbes?
That's the other side of this. Maybe they're just bigger. They have more skin. And again, most of the stuff is coming in on our skin, and our skin is constantly, let's face it, falling apart and shedding into tiny little pieces of dead skin and just leaving these flakes everywhere. So more skin, more awful stuff that you're bringing in and dropping all over the office and over your desk.
I just wanted to throw that in there because I feel like sometimes the guys that are listening to this podcast, they're like, man, so not only am I more likely to get struck by lightning, but I have more germs on me.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly my Y chromosome is just going to go extinct one day.
Yeah, and you're just a mutation necessary to the species as opposed to the female, which is the true version of the Homo sapien.
The cleaner version.
Yes, the cleaner version.
Or perhaps not. All right. So let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about sick building syndrome. And then we are going to talk about the utopian vision of the cubicle.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
All right, we're back. And yeah, we're going to jump in a little more here. But first, I want to just run through a couple of quick factoids. Some of these come from our article about CubeDev and HowStuffWorks.com. You should check that out. Molly Edmonds, I believe, wrote that one.
Yes, Death by Cubicle.
Death by Cubicle. But restaurants with surfaces that contain more than 700 bacteria per square inch are considered unsanitary. But the typical office worker's hands come in contact with 10 million bacteria a day. That also flows in nicely with the fact that the average kitchen table, it tends to be more clean than a desk because it's getting wiped down all the time, or you're supposed to after you eat there. There are crumbs, so you wipe it down. But the same thing is happening with your desk. People are eating at their desk. I eat at my desk, and I don't wipe it down each time, so it's really horrible.
From that same article, it turns out that toilets are actually cleaner, the toilets in the offices.
Yeah, because at least they're getting some level of cleaning.
Well, and if it's like ours, they're probably getting cleaned twice a day, right? As opposed to your desk, which gets cleaned maybe once a year.
Another study found that teachers are, of course, the grimiest profession because they have to come into contact with human
grimy
larvae.
Kids, yeah.
But cubicle-dwelling accountants came in second because their desk racked up 6,030 bacteria per square inch. So that's pretty impressive.
I saw on another list that lawyers were the lowest on the list.
Huh.
Why is that? Are they just kicking back? They're not touching anything?
I don't know. This is the create your own lawyer joke portion of the podcast.
I have that, guys, right here. Hold on. Okay.
Okay, they inserted it in that space. You know, another thing to keep in mind, too, about all the junk that we bring in to the office place, the bottom of the feet. And I think about this sometimes, and it really makes me pine for a shoeless office place, kind of like Cooper's office on Mad Men.
I was just thinking about that, yeah.
Eastern style approach when they enter his office. Because, you know, obviously, we're walking all over the place in these things, stepping on horrible, horrible substances and bacteria and urine and bubble gum and food and
chemicals.
You name it. Yeah, chemicals, horrible pathogens. And it's also worth pointing out that every time you step down, you pressurize the air that's in your shoes. So you can think of this as kind of like a shoe fart. You stomp down, you squirt a little warm air carrying a foot microbiology out. So just in the course of walking around the office, mm-hmm. we're tracking in crud that we've been walking through, you know, on the train, in the street, while walking the dog. And then when we get in, we're shoe farting all this microbiology all over the place. So think about that.
Well, I mean, this is what creates a nice thick ecosystem of microbes to work in.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to mention that in addition to all these microbes, sometimes you will see references to sick building syndrome or occupational asthma. And this is experiencing asthmatic symptoms like itchy eyes or coughing while at work. And it makes up about 10% of asthma cases in the U.S. And it is estimated to be responsible for 24.5 million sick days annually. This is according to Lisa Belkin, who's writing for the New York Times. So there's this idea that when you create this microbial stew in the office, that you're creating conditions that can certainly weaken your health, cause asthmatic reactions. And there's also sick building syndrome, in which a moldy or a poorly ventilated office causes headaches, fatigue, and nausea, just to name a couple symptoms.
Yeah, because you have this shut-off environment, and to what degree are you actually ventilating it, bringing in clean air, or are you just sort of cycling the whole sickness around?
Well, as you say, we've shut out the outdoors.
Yeah.
So we have limited our environment. We've really skewed it, because at least when you're outdoors and maybe you live in a city that's fairly polluted, you're still getting some movement there in those that cloud of microbes is dissipating.
Yeah, and we're bringing in these toxic substances often from carpet, furniture, paint.
Yeah.
Other items such as you remember the War of the Lavender air freshener here at work?
Yes.
It seemed to last months, but it was
it was a synthetic lavender air freshener, and it was permeating the office.
Yeah, because lavender, natural lavender, is a beautiful smell. I love lavender.
Mm-hmm.
But this was that artificial chemical lavender that you can just, you feel killing your brain cells every whiff you take. And it was there was a war, just to keep it short, between those of us who wanted the air freshener and those of us who didn't.
And that is a good example of some of the aggression that we see in these more open office concepts. And we'll mm-hmm. talk about that in a moment. But yes, that's certainly something that you are introducing into the environment or
right.
the ecosystem.
And why was the lavender air freshener there? Because that particular office was haunted by funk.
It had.
And not the good kind of funk.
Foot stink.
Yes.
Well, what I think is fascinating about all of this is, because it sort of sprouts from this whole cubicle culture, is that the cubicle was introduced as this sort of utopian idea of an office space that someone could really lay claim to and spread out and be as creative and productive as possible. And when I'm talking about this utopian office vision, I'm talking about Robert Propst. He was a director of research for Herman Miller, the furniture company.
Mm-hmm.
And he created something called the Action Office. So think about cubicles now, right? Just these squares, essentially, or
yes.
our fancy, like, right angle ones. And think about this vision that he had, that he created, which was really more of like these half walls. But that was there so that you could pin up projects. And then all these different
And have a little privacy when you needed it.
Privacy, yeah. And then a lot of desk space with different components you could add on to it, like bookshelves and so on and so forth,
yeah.
so that the person who was working there could spread out, could have all the things that they needed at hand.
Yeah, make it their own. You're not ruled by that in-and-out box. And you would have varying levels of workspace. So
yes.
you can sit down and you can work, but you can also stand up and work.
Yeah.
And of course, that's growing more and more popular these days with individuals who want to stand and work all day.
Right. I mean, it was very forward thinking.
Yeah.
But now this is what used to exist before cubicles. And we're talking about those, open bullpens
mm-hmm.
where there were really small desks, like think about school desks that were just lined up one after the other with no privacy. So in a sense, this utopian vision was a vast improvement.
Yes.
Sounds great, right? So what happened?
Well,
where did it all go wrong?
Well, the problem, the main problem here is that you're taking an ideal and you are going to work that into a business environment and into a business plan. You're going to deal with space constraints.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to deal with budget constraints. And you're going to end up with a product that looks significantly different.
Right, because we're talking about the late 60s mm-hmm. here. We're an increased workforce. We're talking about the real estate costs just skyrocketing too.
Yeah.
So they had to solve that. And they looked at this company, Herman Miller, a lot of corporations, and said, can I cherry pick that configuration to just choose what I want?
Because if you do, you run into not an excellent means of creating an open workspace for your employee, but a way of cramming more people into a given space.
Right.
And while still providing them basically the workspace they need to work.
And that's where this lovely idea of this Action Office just was cherry-picked to death and then eventually reconfigured so that it just got smaller and smaller and smaller until it became this corporate sardine can plan.
Yeah, these little gray cells that you slide yourself into. I was looking at pictures of them because I sometimes forget what they look like because I've never worked in a space that really had them. Because I was in newsrooms before this, I was working for newspapers, and newspapers generally go with the open office environment because you're all working together, you're yelling
right.
at each other, you're breaking into tears, you're collaborating on this project on a deadline,
uh-huh.
and there's a certain amount of time wasting, but a lot of just let's get this done.
Right.
You know? It's a cool environment, but it's definitely not a cubicle environment. And then here, of course, we have this altered cubicle environment that we've described already. So, but looking at these images, it really is soul crushing. Some of these, I mean, it looks like a cell.
And it has dominated the office landscape for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, now employers are going back to this more open bullpen configuration.
Yes.
So that's where we begin to introduce a bunch of different problems, right? Because here
we're talking about the open office. We've actually seen it parodied in recent TV shows, like in Arrested Development, the most recent season. They have like this, basically a warehouse with this,
yes.
where it's like desks spread out across these spaces. Parks and Rec had that business that John Ralphio and Aziz opened. A huge space with all, you know, like a desk here and like a basketball hoop here.
Yeah.
And it's become sort of a cliche of startups.
It has. Yeah. And, you know, various companies handle things differently. There are some that will actually not have any assigned seating. So when you show up, you just check out your laptop and then you go to a desk, check out a laptop for the day, and then go find a place to sit.
Yes. Let's make the workspace as much like a middle school cafeteria as possible
right.
because we
right.
all have fond memories of that.
Right. Now, I think the reason why employers are going to this is one, it's really cheap, right? You have no walls, you have no partitions, you don't have to worry about a ton of office furniture.
Now, do the managers still have closed off offices? I assume they do because they have to have.
Yeah. Well, not all, but there are some companies where managers are out there with everybody and there
yeah.
are no,
but
it just okay. depends on
the
company's philosophy.
See, I would feel better about it if the manager's rolling this out, we're partaking of this new environment because a lot of times it feels like I have this great idea for you guys. You're not going to have offices or cubicles. You're just going to sort of exist in a comfy space. If you need me, I'll be in my office.
Yeah, but offices are necessary because you have to have some
yeah.
measure of privacy.
Oh, no, no.
Right?
I'm a big believer in offices because
right.
if someone's going to be fired, it needs to happen in an office.
That's true.
If someone's going to be interviewed for a job, it probably needs to happen inside of an office. So closed offices are necessary. And I think that the privacy afforded by the right kind of cubicle
mm-hmm.
is certainly necessary to my work environment. Like, I can't imagine if we were all sitting around on beanbags here. And I was having to try and work on a laptop while Jonathan Strickland shoots basketball and tells me about his weekend, I would lose my mind.
Uh-huh. I think, though, that this is a trend that is going to continue because, again, it comes down to money.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of this is that so many companies are beginning to or have already adopted pretty robust teleworking policies.
That's right. Why waste the money and the space on me having a designated office space or a designated cubicle if I'm only in once a week, twice a week,
right.
even three times a week.
Which is where you have the unassigned
yeah.
desk space. It sort of makes sense. Because if you're
yeah.
only going to be in a couple of days a week, well, then great.
And it's sort of, it is a fair trade-off, I would feel. It's like, it's hard to complain about that if you were getting multiple telework days per week And they said, oh, by the way, you don't really get to have your own office anymore. Yeah.
Right.
You don't really get to have your own designated space.
Now, this is probably something that a lot of listeners are experiencing. And I say that because according to Susan Cain in her New York Times article, The Rise of the New Groupthink, virtually all American workers now spend time on teams. That's a new thing, right? Teams where, you know, you're not just working individually anymore. And some 70% inhabit these open plan offices.
Yeah.
Which she says no one has a room of their own.
Well, you know, back to where we was talking about newsrooms. And have you worked in newsrooms before?
I have,
you have,
yeah.
So again, like that's the type of operation where an open workspace makes perfect sense. Because it is a team effort to get this done. There's a certain amount of leave me alone while I write my my paper, write my article. In the old days, you used to go cigarette me, and they would stick a cigarette in your mouth. That's what the old timers were telling me.
I'm sure I can see it, and it's a very I like the environment of a newsroom because I think that it's very intense, and it can get very loud. It can sort of like when the anxiety rises, so too does the volume of the voices. But I was very good at just blocking all that out, because, you know, when your head's down, your head's down.
I had a coworker by the name, I'm going to go ahead and out her, Rachel Oswald, because she's still a fabulous journalist out there in the world. But she had this thing where she would be on deadline. She would be finishing the front page story that I needed to put in the paper that I was editing. And everyone has their own way of getting work done. Her way was to put her headphones in and listen to show tunes and sing out loud, sing the show tunes out loud as she was finishing the article. And so, you know, it's like, you know, it's night already, you want to go home, and it's not the time to listen to your coworkers sing show tunes, but, you know, this is how you're going to get there. You have to let Rachel sing her show tunes and finish the front page story.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I wanted to point out that if you feel like your office space is shrinking, mm-hmm. if you're in a cubicle or if you're in an open plan or even if you're in an office with a capital O, turns out that the average square foot or square feet per worker fell from 225 in 2010 to 176 in 2012. This is in stark contrast to about 500 square feet that were allotted for each office worker in the 70s. So you can see it's just like slowly being whittled down. And there's this idea that as a result of this lack of space and this bullpen sort of environment, that there is an increased amount of anxiety, aggression, and poor health. And this is from researcher Dr. Vinesh Oman from the Queensland University of Technology's Institute of Health and Biomedical Innovation. He said that in 90% of the research, the outcome of working in an open plan office was seen as negative, with these types of offices causing stress and conflict and high blood pressure and high staff turnover. So you can begin to see this, like if you talk about the anxiety or aggression, you can see this in an open office plan, because if you're in the middle of that, you are very aware of your coworkers' conversations, mm-hmm. of perhaps the Glade lavender air freshener that they put up.
Yeah.
Or even like some of the little habits, maybe the clipping of their nails or toenails at their desk.
Yeah, which you love, right?
I could hear that all day and look at that all day. So that begins to really sort of heighten what people are feeling are distractions and annoying. And you get that higher blood pressure and you get more stressed out. So it sort of makes sense that in these environments, you're asking people to do very specific work, sometimes work that requires a lot of attention. And yet, here are all these different things going on all around you.
Yeah. You end up putting headphones in to cut out the noise and try and concentrate more. But then with that comes the added fright of someone trying to get your attention every now and then. And that just ups the anxiety again.
The startle response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it comes down, a lot of people enjoy, I mean, I enjoy the privacy and space in which to do my creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that to me, that's more valuable at this stage of my career than teamwork, because really, who's my team? Like, you're on my team. Noel's on my team once a week,
mm-hmm.
for a few hours, and then Tyler's on my team like a few hours a week.
Tyler's our video producer, yeah. And Noel is our podcast producer.
Yes.
And of course, we're all wearing matching t-shirts.
Yes.
Right now. And we are a team, but you're right. I mean, what we all do is largely very independent. And Susan Cain, in that article, The Rise of the New Groupthink, said that this is really important for people who are creative, but they're also introverts. They need to have that space. We've talked about this before. They need to feel like they have privacy and freedom from interruption.
And this is where it's really important that's another thing that bugs me about the potential of a manager with an office deciding things. Also, the idea of an extrovert who's a manager with an office deciding, mm-hmm. how everyone else's space is going to work. Like, hey, guys, let's just do this. It's a big old work party nonstop, realizing that most of us do not want to attend, or some of us do not want to attend the work party. And the idea of the work party alone is enough to give us the shivers.
Well, I think that there should be opportunity for informal collaborations.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's, I think, why they say, hey, come in, make sure you're in the office X amount of time, or we're going to have an actual meeting about this. But it turns out that if you have those sort of informal, like, hey, how's it going? You know, and you share some ideas, that you then take that inspiration from that conversation and you go away and you do the actual work, right?
Yes.
So if you just sat around all day collaborating, nothing would get done.
Yeah. It kind of comes back to what we're talking about, the caffeine episode. The idea that when you take your coffee, you caffeinate, then you're able to focus on a given topic.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're not doing the free brain association activity that is the hallmark of a creative endeavor. So you need a balance between the two. So we need to share spaces with our coworkers. We need to be able to collaborate. We need to shoot basketball hoops with Jonathan Strickland. I don't know why Jonathan's shooting basketball in this. To my knowledge, he doesn't shoot basketball. But at any rate, you need to shoot some hoops with Jonathan every now and then, mm-hmm. but then you also need to be able to walk away from Jonathan and find a place of quiet.
It's true. And the quiet is the big deal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the chief complaint that most people have in any kind of office setting, is that it's just not quiet enough. There's too much going on. I can hear someone on the phone talking, and I can't hear the other person on the other line or, mm-hmm. You know, who they're talking to.
And that's maddening. We've discussed that in episodes. So, like, hearing half a phone call is one of the most disturbing things possible, because your brain wants to loop everything up. Even if that's not your primary activity, far from it from the day, your brain wants to make sense of it.
Yeah, it's distracted because it's trying to make sense of that conversation and, fill in those loops. But I did want to point out that there was a survey of 65,000 people over a decade. This was in North America, Europe, Africa, and Australia. And they said this is the thing. People, you know, half of these people say that they need privacy and they need speech privacy. So they need to be able to make a phone call or have a conversation without everybody hearing it. And they also need not to hear everybody else. So I thought it was interesting that a software company called Autodesk, which was setting up a new office, they wanted to test out something called a pink noise system.
Okay.
Okay. Now this is described as a soft whoosh. That's emitted over loudspeakers, and it sounds like a ventilation system, but it is specially formulated to match the frequencies in human voices. Okay, so unbeknownst...
So it's a, sort of an organic white noise, thus the pink noise. It's
pink
like a
noise.
Fleshy white noise.
I have to say, the pink noise sounds kind of nice, right?
Yeah, a little dirty, but nice, yeah.
Like a, you know, like a ventilation lullaby, really.
Yeah, it makes me think of the ventilation system as alive and fleshy, though, like we're in a Cronenberg office.
I do think of pink goo dripping down from it,
I have
to say. But unbeknownst to the employees in that office, they had no idea this was running. And it was run for 3 months. They shut it off, and boom, they immediately got complaints.
And everyone lost their mind.
Well, they couldn't pinpoint it. They didn't know. They just kept saying, like, I can hear so-and-so, and there's, you know, like, it was like that day that the power was knocked out.
And it turned out the lights were on, but they had to shut off all of the really high-end stuff, like the ventilation system. And it suddenly
eerie.
Felt wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, we were like, what's going on in here?
Well, the same thing happens, I think, around like 6 o'clock in the building. And like used to, when I would stay to 6, like that's when I knew it was time to go. Like, it feels wrong in here. Something weird.
Right.
Too quiet.
You have those cues, right? So it was interesting because apparently that system was helping to muffle conversations. So all of a sudden people could hear conversations from 60 feet away, as opposed to, like, you know, it sort of deadening that sound for them.
Well, I think we ought to introduce, we can call it green noise. And it'll be just a constant, like, whooshiness, but with kind of ghostly voices, too. So that you're constantly a little bit on edge.
Robert Lamb, like that.
Yeah. So, like, it's kind of like an ectoplasm-based pink noise, I think.
So it's sort of like the Matheson novel.
Oh,
it's like,
Hell House,
come out. No,
I Am Legend, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's what we all need, is this promise of zombies behind our office door. So I started to think about this open office concept and lack of privacy is running parallel with this other issue that we have in our lives of not having any privacy anywhere because of the internet or the amount of information that we're giving out. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of interesting, you know, to look at it that way and wonder if this is just us really fulfilling an adaptation to what our current circumstances are. Is this really a big deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it does remind me, one of the criticisms of the open office space is that people going outside to take personal phone calls instead of having them at their desk, which doesn't sound like really that bad of a thing, but the idea is that supposedly you're losing some time in doing that. But it's not like that it would be any less private to have that conversation in the office space. You're just seeing people. Like, so much of it is just our perceived privacy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have this agreed upon fiction of how private our workspace is. Like, for instance, working in a crowded coffee shop to me is great. I can really put in my headphones and just barrel through a project. But I'm certainly not private. If anything, I'm visible by more people, but I tend not to know any of them. So it's almost like they're not there. So, but it's all about just me creating this environment, this worldview in which I have privacy.
Well, that's right, because all those people around you are not saddled with a biography that you know. So if you're in a coffee shop and someone next to you is yapping about mm-hmm. something, then you're probably not, you can probably just say, okay, that person's yapping, I can crowd them out of my mind. But if you put a name to them and some instances or collaborations that you've had with them, perhaps then you start to feel like, oh, could you please quit talking? So it's interesting to see that we do have to create this illusion for ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's ultimately what the answer is. You have to have an environment that allows people to have privacy, that allows people to work together, and throughout all of it, create an illusion that they can accept that they have the privacy to work.
Right. And part of that illusion, too, is making those people feel like they have choices. Like, for instance, we're going to decorate our cubicles and feel like it is ours. It's my corner of the street, right?
Yes.
Which makes you feel like you have a little bit more control over your environment.
Yeah. The freedom to put up a poster of a barbarian lady cutting off a monster's head. Like, that is important. I fight for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not only in this workplace, but the next, in anyone else's workplace. I will write an email on your behalf to your boss about your right to put up that barbarian poster.
There you go. Take them up on it, guys.
All right. Well, on that note, let's call over the robot and do a little listener mail. All of this comes to us from Facebook. And this first one comes from Brad. Dear Robert and Julie, I just listened to a writer's letter about naming holidays for the seven deadly sins. He could not come up with a holiday that matched envy. So I thought about it and I came up with your birthday. It is the only holiday typically celebrated by one person at a time. On another note, I'm a late-time subscriber to your podcast and have been trying to catch up furiously. I'm a truck driver and listen to about 10 podcasts today, and possibly a day, and I'll get to that in a second. I should be caught up in no time. Sorry for the pronunciation and writing. I am using voice text to write this message. Keep up the great work.
Ah, I like that, and I like how he's, you know, trekking along and doing the safe thing here and using voice to write this.
I mean, I guess I knew that was possible because of all the Siri stuff, but I think this is the first time that we've had a listener write in and actually told us that they were using voice-to-text software to write to us. It's kind of crazy and futuristic in its own way.
I would be interested to know, since he has sort of a mobile office of one,
yeah,
what sort of things in his office environment as a trucker, you know, work for him or don't work for him? And does he ever get into big arguments with himself?
Yeah, the mobile workplace that's a whole other issue in and of itself, because you certainly get into issues of ergonomics there. Because mm-hmm. it's one there, and this is explored in Molly Edmonds' article that we cited earlier about cubicle death. You know, there are a number of concerns about posture and keyboard position and eye strain and all of this mm-hmm. related to a physical non-moving office. But then in a vehicle, you know, like if you have a keyboard to the side, such as in a, you know, any kind of like a survey vehicle or a police car, et cetera, there are a whole host of new ergonomic problems that present themselves, such as constantly twisting over to use a keyboard.
Right.
At a weird angle. So anyway, that's a whole other issue. But
yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear about the passing of time too in that context, as we just did a episode about time. So if you're in that environment and you're on the road, how does that pass for you? What sort of things make it pass quicker or slower?
This one comes to us from Amanda in Saskatchewan, Oxbow, Saskatchewan to be specific. She writes in and says, thought I'd write in about your recent coffee episode. I am one of the super sensitive types. A coffee is reserved for very important times only. If I have to stay up all night and most of the next day sort of reasons only. Hopefully my abstaining is keeping me extra creative. 3! So, yeah, it sounds like... I've certainly talked to people like that who are just ultra sensitive to it and only use it if they really need to stay up like crazy. But
yeah.
Then we also heard from Bonnie. Listener Bonnie writes in and says, I love coffee, so I really enjoyed the recent episode on coffee. My dad started giving me the extra little bit of his coffee and that wouldn't fit in his work thermos when I was just a little kid. And then by junior high, he was making enough for me to have a real cup of coffee before school. I never get the caffeine jitters, nor do I ever feel a jolt from drinking a cup of Joe. Guess I have built up quite a tolerance over the years. What I really wanted to ask, though, is which of your coworkers do you think would have a jar of urine in their office, and are they fellow podcasters that we, the public, might be familiar with? And if we guessed which ones they were, or would you tell us if we were right? Do you want to field that one? Now, I will say the coworker that has the most liquid receptacles on their desk at any given time has to be Holly of Stuff You Missed in History Class. I just noticed there will be numerous cups and cans. I believe they are empty, but they could conceivably be filled with urine. I'm not saying she's doing it, but I'm saying she could.
She is the ultimate, like, ladylike person in this building. You know that,
yes.
Right? Like, she's not, I mean, if you went, if I tell her what you just said, actually, I will, and we'll stand there and let's register the horror on her face. So I would not say that Holly would be the urine
No. She wouldn't.
Person.
But she has a
receptacle. I have someone in mind.
Are they a podcaster?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I feel like I kind of need to ask
male or
that,
female?
I feel like I kind of need to ask that person if this arrangement is okay.
Okay.
Before agreeing to it. I'm very intrigued by this. I would love for you guys to guess who I'm thinking, but, you know, that person has to be a willing participant in this.
Okay. All right, Bonnie. Well, you heard that. Tune in later for more details. All right. We also heard from Meg. Meg writes in and says, I was just listening to the coffee podcast, popular with a lot of people, and wanted to chime in since you wanted to hear from creative coffee drinkers. As I've written before, I'm a professional miniatures painter and have been for the last 5 years. I'm an avid coffee drinker, especially before painting. I find it really increases my creativity and productivity. I also have experiences with hand jitters, like Robert mentioned he gets before he paints minis. Painting is a very zen activity and helps keep me calm and centered throughout my day. One question I have for you guys is, how does caffeine affect people with ADHD? I am ADD, and I know others who are too, and we all swear by drinking caffeinated beverages on days we forget our Ritalin or other stimulant medications at home. We have found it acts like Ritalin in a pinch, and caffeine actually helps our brains to focus. It says, Robert, anytime you come to Seattle, let me know, and maybe we can get a paint jam in sometime.
All right, that's okay. I think I'm going to have to put that in the file for future ADHD episode, because we've talked about this and we've had another request for it in terms of creativity, ADD and ADHD, and how it may or may not affect creativity. So we'll have to explore that.
And just as far as miniatures go, I was really intrigued that Meg, even though she has experienced apparently some of the hand jitters before, that she makes a regular point of drinking coffee before she paints. But maybe she has naturally steadier hands than I do, so she doesn't suffer as much.
Well, and then there is that level of sensitivity to caffeine.
Yeah, indeed. Everybody has kind of a different cocktail in their body, reacting differently to it. And finally, we heard from Matthew. Matthew writes in and says, Hi, Robert and Julie. Love listening to your podcasts, and I often find myself imagining your recording setup. For some reason, I picture a dark room, devoid of any distracting pictures, etc. Simply two stools, a table, and two mics. Any chance you would post a picture of your actual recording setup? Well, I would say that we don't really have to, because if you watch the Stuff You Should Know TV show, the setup they have in that show is fake, but looks sort of like a clean TV version of what we actually have.
Well, you're talking about the red batting that serves as insulation,
yes,
right? Or to actually deaden the sound vibrations so that you don't hear the traffic too much there on Peachtree Street. But we also have pictures of bats.
Yes.
And I think we've mentioned this before, Picasso in his underpants.
Yes.
Tesla over there. And a book on Santa Fe design and the wit and wisdom of fishing.
Yes.
If this gives people a better idea of the sort of clutter that we have around us.
We also have a terrarium with a homunculus in it.
That's not true.
We have a Necronomicon in a vacuum-sealed chamber.
That's true.
And a collection of various potions, some of which have been tested on our interns, some of which have not.
I will not confirm or deny.
All right. Well, if you have something you would like to share with us, and particularly about today's episode, about the workspace, what's your workspace like, and how does it affect your creativity, about your ability to jam and brainstorm with your coworkers? Do you have a mobile working environment? If so, how do you remain creative in that? How do you remain comfortable in that? Let us know. All of this stuff is game. You can find us in a number of places. StuffToBlowYourMind.com is the mothership. That's where all our blog posts go, the videos, the audio, you name it. Pictures of us. If you don't know what we look like and you're trying to figure that out, well, that's where you need to go to find it. You can also find us on social media. Well, we're on Facebook. We're Stuff to Blow Your Mind there, on Tumblr as well. And also you can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind. Oh, and then YouTube, Mind Stuff Show.
That's right. And you can also send us an email at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.